You're listening to Side by Side with Kathy Wilson, Episode 2, A New Way of Being Free. It had been a year since I applied to the Lions Foundation in Oakville for a dog guide. There had been medical checkups, interviews, and finally a visit from the client services representative. Through it all, my morose husband was not in favor and did little to cover it up. This added to my anxiety while I waited to be accepted, and then more time passed before the class was scheduled to commence. The picture of my own future guide dog came to mind while the promise of a brighter future supported me. It also gave me more questions that needed answers. Would it love me? Would I be able to give it a happy life when it was giving me so much? Finally, I wondered if I was worthy to be the focal point of another's existence. I feared that my husband wouldn't be able to make the needed adjustment. I clung to the promise of freedom. Ralph drove our Mazda 626 along the Queen Elizabeth towards Oakville. Although this was an early spring day, winter was not yet willing to give up its dominance in southern Ontario. He was throwing everything he had at our persevering little compact. As my husband drove, he first cursed the sleet that made vision almost impossible. As Ralph slowed the speed a bit more, he dammed the snow, and a few miles later, we were pummeled with sheets of rain. As he drove, Ralph provided me with a furious monologue of what we were passing through. I finally suggested that we could turn around and go home if the driving was impossible. Of course, he was not grateful for my input. How could I doubt his ability? Had he not got us this far? After all, we were more than halfway there. Turning back would not make much sense. Ralph drove into Oakville and suggested that we go for coffee at the closest Tim Hortons. I greeted this suggestion with relief. After that stressful trip, we both needed a breather before I faced the next hurdle. I considered coffee an essential part of any day. Even with the donut, we were finished our coffee in short order. I clutched my white cane. I had never been in Oakville before. This school was entirely a new experience, and the fear factor, which was never far from my awareness, was looming in front of me. Ralph stood and addressed me. "This is where you wanted to be. It's time I got you there." We turned into the parking lot of the Lions Foundation. I unfolded my traveling cane and followed Ralph to the door. I felt the doubts crushing my hopes. Maybe they won't have a dog for me. It will probably detest me because I am so stupid. It will sense my fear and won't love or trust me. "The door is right in front of you. Are you going in, or are we going to stand here all afternoon?" I clutched my cardboard box and Ralph picked up my suitcase. "What's in this suitcase anyway? Gold bars?" I pulled the door open and summoned all the determination I could find. If I couldn't take the first step, then that journey of 1,000 miles wouldn't get started. It was a large room with windows on two sides. Somehow we had managed to crash what appeared to be a big party. All those people dressed in suits, ties, and shiny shoes. Was this some sort of political meeting? Perhaps it was a doctor's convention. One thing was certain. I did not belong here. Then a man approached us, and I noticed that he wasn't wearing a tie, and that felt so much better. "I'm Kathy Wilson, and I am here for the class for dog guides." I could hear the welcome smile in his voice when he answered that I was expected and that he would take me upstairs to my room. He took my cardboard box, and Ralph followed behind us, pulling my suitcase. I was glad that I decided to take the one with wheels. Greg led us to a flight of stairs. while he explained that he was one of the trainers. Ralph asked if he had trained the dog that I would be receiving. Greg replied that this was a likely possibility because it was his string of dogs that would be assigned to the people in this class. Up the stairs we climbed, with my cane locating each step. "How many steps are there?" I asked, as my cane tapped yet another one. "There are 3 flights. I'm not sure of the actual number. We're almost at the top." "Your room is the last one on the left." Greg moved quickly down the hall and stopped at the final door. He opened it and stood back. "This is where you will be staying while you attend class." He pointed out the bathroom, bed, and desk, then explained that there was always a coffee pot downstairs. Dinner was at 5, and then he left. Ralph set down my suitcase, gave me a quick hug, and left me standing in the doorway. Part of me wanted to take my seat in the Mazda and retrace the miles along the Queen Elizabeth to my safe and secure home. The other part trembled with the excitement of finding a new way of being free. My bed was comfortably firm as I listened for the sounds of the approaching day. Birds chirped from trees outside my window. This reminded me that the storms of yesterday had not survived the nighttime hours. There was the sun making a promise for a bright, spanking new day. Breakfast was scheduled for 8 a.m., so I had plenty of time left. Why not just close my eyes and steal a bit more sleep? Things were so peaceful, a perfect chance to rest for the day ahead. I opened my mouth to express a contented yawn, but that is not what I heard. It sounded more like 100 dogs all barking at once. I was sitting up in bed before I realized that this was no dream. The barking grew louder and louder, if that was possible. And then there was an abrupt but authoritative voice hollering, "Shut up! Breakfast!" I must be hearing the kennel, I thought, as I left my bed and got as close to the beckoning sound as I could. One of those dogs barking could be mine. The wonder of it all hit me, and the anxieties of the past few months flew off into oblivion. Today I would take my next step forward. At breakfast, the three of us chatted, learning about each other and sharing our life experience. Frank came from Toronto, so his dog would be dealing with a cosmopolitan environment, while I lived in a much smaller city with fewer difficulties. We wouldn't have to ride subways or streetcars. Greg used the morning to take each of us out along Kerr Street, where he observed our walking pace with the idea of matching this with a dog whose walk would be compatible. While Greg walked with me, he asked me a number of questions, and I did my best to respond. I travel quite a bit and I sing in a number of choirs. Some are better than others, but I like them all. I hope that the dog you match me with will be okay with this. We walked a bit further, and I told Greg that I did a lot of walking. I use a cane, but I think a dog will be much better. Perhaps we could go places that I have never been before, like on Star Trek, and just be free. It would be good to stop being afraid all the time. We walked on in silence, and then as we approached the door, Greg said, "We'll do our best." I knew that nothing less than my best would be good enough. It was time for lunch. I hoped that there wouldn't be carrots. I really detest carrots. Of course, we three compared our morning walks, and the feeling of optimism followed us into the afternoon session. We were told that tomorrow would begin our work with different dogs. We would learn the commands, both hand signal and verbal. Greg then gave us each a heavy leather leash. Because they were new, the leather was stiff and needed to be handled until it became pliable. The leash was an important piece of equipment. We would learn to feel the movement of our dog through the leash and harness. We would know where our dog was looking and be able to anticipate what our dog would do. I ran my fingers up and down the leash, finding the clips that would enable the leash to be extended to its full length or shortened to half. For the rest of that day and many more, I ran my hands along the leash and thought of the dog that would soon be linked with me. The following morning, I waited with eagerness and wonder to hear the kennels spring to life just as the day before. These were hungry dogs, and breakfast wouldn't come soon enough. When one kennel occupant spotted an attendant, it would give the alert and everyone would join in the chorus. Greg had explained this to me yesterday when I asked him about all the barking around 7 that morning. I pictured this tremendous canine chorus all grouped in their separate sections, the tenors with their glorious high notes floating above the sweet sopranos, the alto section with tails wagging in time wove their notes around the flawless melody, and below it all was the bass. I could picture this section of black Labradors supporting the entire choir, complementing each separate part. Would I receive a bass? Would his bark and understanding support me, and would my love be enough for him? Once breakfast was over, we were again gathered in the lounge on the lower floor with Greg and the head trainer, Bob. I had my leash looped around my waist a few times to form a strange sort of belt. No, not fashionable, but at least I knew where it was. Bob explained that today we would have the opportunity to work with different dogs, to get the feeling of following and learning commands. Oh, things were really starting to percolate. Greg brought in 2 dogs from the kennel, one he gave to Frank and the other to me. Bob gave Tracy a dog as well. You wouldn't have thought these dogs were fit to guide anything. They were leaping and jumping, whining with insistence and turning in circles. Our instructions from the trainers sounded simple. These dogs are very excited because they are out of the kennel. You need to calm your dogs so you can work together. That was it. We were not told how to go about the task, only to do it. Bob and Greg just watched our efforts. My dog was a small black lab named Dixie. She was tangled in her leash and doing her best to climb into my lap. Even though she was small, she was not a toy poodle and therefore not lap-sized. I started stroking along her back and talking softly to her as I untangled her leash. No one was more surprised than I when she calmed right down and sat at my knee. Tracy and Frank took a little more time, but soon their dogs had settled. We were ready for our lessons to begin. There is a long hall near the lounge, which works very well for working indoors with a dog. We received instructions on healing. From time to time, we were given a different dog to work beside, and thus we learned the different aspects of being guided by different dogs. Dixie had a smooth walk and was not a fast-paced girl. I found her to be sweet-tempered and quite calm. Imagine my surprise to receive a proud golden retriever named Burke. He was certainly a big guy who knew just what his job was and was determined to do it. He walked with confidence at my left side, and although he was on leash, but not in harness, he had no problem keeping my path straight. We didn't hit a wall once. Greg started teaching us about turns, both left and right. This was including hand signals as well as the verbal command. We also made use of the stay and forward commands. Early in the afternoon, Greg brought me a joyful Labrador with a waving tail and snow-white coat. I didn't know that there were white Labradors. I thought there were only yellow, black, and chocolate. Greg answered while stroking Hickory's head. Hickory is a yellow lab, a pale yellow. I couldn't even see one yellow hair on the beautiful girl, and as far as I was concerned, she was dressed in her wedding attire, and to heck with yellow, she was a pleasure to walk beside. There was a skip in her stride and an eagerness to take me forward. I adored her from the start, and regretted when Bob brought me another yellow Labrador named Barkley some time later. By the end of our day, I had met 4 different guide dogs and walked up and down the hall so many times that the linoleum was showing signs of wear. Before we were released for the day, Bob told us that we were progressing very well. He added that if we continued this way, we would receive our dogs on Thursday. Wow! I was so overjoyed. Today was Tuesday, so there would be one more day of working different dogs, and then on Thursday I would have my partner. I'm not a person who shows feelings easily, but that news made me cry. And wouldn't you know someone would be in the washroom? I had nothing to blow my nose on or dry my eyes. This won't happen again, I vowed. From now on, my pockets will have a dog treat and a Kleenex.